I want to tell you a little bit of how I chose and how I came upon this passage for tonight. It was probably a few weeks, almost a month ago, when I took a break. I hit the break. I took a pause. I took a moment to reflect upon my life. I took a moment to ask myself, how did I get here? How are things going? The why? To look at the good, the bad. To reflect on my family, on my ministry, my life. It's actually this month, it's been 4 years since we moved to California. I asked myself, you know, what needs to change in my life? What do I need to improve? What should I remove for my life? What needs to be added? How do I get a better understanding of God's will for my life? And how do I become a more effective Christian? How do I become, as I love to pray, and I always pray, God, help me to be a light and salt for the world. And I ask God, how can I do that better? How can I be an effective Christian in my family, at work, in my community, wherever I am? So I went, and I went to see the doctor. Well, actually, I went to see Dr. Luke specifically. And I happened on this passage. And I want to be very honest. When I read this, I have this expression, and we've heard it before, that the word is like a mirror. And Pastor Druhora this morning talked about how scriptures actually reads you. And reading this passage here, I saw myself. I found myself. No one else. I found myself. I found the things in my life that I needed to change. I found the excuses. I found all those shortcomings. So first, I want to read this passage, which is found again in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord. But let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Amen. After reading this and meditating and praying about this to understand what God was telling me, I want to share with you the things that the Lord spoke to me personally. And it's very important first, before I give a title to my message, to understand the context of this passage. Where does this happen in the story? In the previous section here in Luke, from chapter 4, verses 14, all the way to chapter 9, verse 15, we see Jesus performing his ministry in Galilee. And then right at verse 51, there's a huge transition. In verse 51, Jesus, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Right here, there's a big shift. There's a big shift, and now Jesus leaves Galilee and goes towards Jerusalem. But he knows what's waiting for him at Jerusalem. He knows what's about to happen. It's very clear. And in the passages before, and just in the previous chapter, Jesus tells people, "Hey, I'm going to have to suffer. The Son of Man will need to suffer. Will need to die. This will happen." And knowing this, Jesus sets his face and moves towards Jerusalem. So this passage right here that we read, we find ourselves in what is called a travel narrative. The goal for Jesus is to establish the kingdom of God. Throughout the journey, even in Galilee and even on his way to Jerusalem, we'll see Jesus as he intentionally presents and explains the importance of discipleship. And in this particular passage, we see a very dramatic and a very demanding picture of discipleship. My Bible here says the cost of following Jesus, and I'm sure many other Bibles have that passage, have a title given to this little passage. Actually, for those of you who know that Dietrich Bonhoeffer actually has a book called The Cost of Discipleship. But there's one thing in here that stood out to me. There's a clear theme, and this theme is rejection. In the previous section, right before this, Jesus sends James and John to Samaria to prepare the way for him because he was about to travel through there. But the Samaritans don't want Jesus because he's got his face set on Jerusalem. It's a different story. But the Samaritans reject him. And then we look at these three, what I would like to term would-be disciples, also rejecting Jesus. We see that these people here, these would-be disciples, have competing priorities. Their priorities seem to be somewhere else, though they say they want to follow Christ. And it stems from an attitude of self-centeredness. As Pastor Gok said, from that me, me. And that's how I titled my message. But first, me. And I want to look at the three excuses, the three attitudes that I saw in my life that hinders, that prevents me, that many times minimizes my effectiveness of being a true Christian, an effective Christian, and it's an effective disciple of Christ. And I want to look at it through the eyes of these three would-be disciples. So the first attitude, the first excuse, the first thing that stands out in the first story, the first would-be disciple is, but first, my normal. We see here this would-be disciple comes to Jesus and he says, I will follow you. He's not prompted by Jesus. Jesus doesn't come to him, follow me. But very on fire, apparently, for Jesus, he comes to him, Jesus, I will follow you. Now, again, understand the context. These people have been waiting for the Messiah. Jesus is that promised Messiah. He's going to set a kingdom. And everyone has this expectation that Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's going to overthrow the Romans. He's going to set up a new kingdom. And this person here is very enthusiastic about following Jesus. He wants to be part of that. He wants to be part of this new kingdom. It's been promised. We've been waiting so long. It is time. I want to follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. But the answer that Jesus gives him is so... I have such a hard time with this. This guy's saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. And then Jesus tells him, well, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. What does that have to do with anything, God? Like, I want to follow you. Why are you telling me about the birds and the foxes? What is it all? What's it all about? One thing that I've learned and that we see with Jesus is that he knows people's hearts. We see it all throughout scriptures when people were talking, and even Jesus knew what people were even thinking. So many times what the Pharisees were thinking. And there's the one story that reminds me that I remember of the rich man, the young rich man. They came to Jesus and said, Lord, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom? Well, you need to follow the law. You need to love the Lord with all your heart and to do all these. And this young man, yep, I got it all. I'm covered. It's all good. And then Jesus tells him, oh yeah, by the way, sell all your riches, give it to the poor and follow me. You see, Jesus knew where that man's problem was, knew exactly where the real issue was, where the real need was in that life. And to this person, Jesus says this, right? Foxes have holes, birds have nests. What Jesus describes is the way the normal things are in life. It's the way normal things are. Yes, it's very normal for foxes to have holes, birds to have nests. It's normal. But is it normal for the King of Kings to be born in a manger? Is it normal for the Son of God to die a sinner's death for us? Is it normal for the Savior to be buried in a borrowed tomb? How is that normal? And I think that this is what Jesus was trying to point at. This person here wanted to follow Jesus, but he wanted his normal. I'll follow you, Lord, but listen, there's got to be some things. I will only serve you like this. I will only follow you like this. I have my expectations. I need things to be one way or a certain way. Maybe this person thought that he will be comfortable, that things will be comfortable to follow Christ. The journey to establish the kingdom of God is not an easy one, and Jesus knows this. As he's going for it. There's a real cost to following Christ. What the world thinks is normal is not necessarily normal with Jesus, though I know we're trying to get the world today, society's pushing this new normal upon us after COVID. It's crazy, but in fact, the truth is that what the world thinks, the world actually thinks that his message is foolishness. The world just does not accept, they can understand the beauty of the gospel. And Paul tells the Corinthians, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Yes, to some, the word of God is not normal. It's not right. It doesn't sound right. It's not what we expected. It's not what we wanted. It may be foolishness, but yet it is the power of salvation. Praise God. Us and this disciple, we think that we can serve God in our own standards, with our own principles, with our own expectations. Here's the thing, though. Your skills, my skills, will never fit the job description. Never. We had an interview at work this week, and we had a pretty good candidate, and you know, he went through the list of job requirements, the description of what his job would look like, and he wanted to make sure that he's a good fit, and you know, he has really good questions to make sure that he fits that job description. And I think we might hire him. But I was reminded of someone in the Bible who was also called for a great purpose, to save Israel from Egypt, Moses. And man, this guy was so good at looking at the job description and saying, oh, this, no, this is not me. This, not me. He had five excuses. The first one, his excuse was, I'm a nobody. God, who am I? I'm nobody. And by God tells him, no, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. The second excuse he has, people are going to ask, you know, whose authority am I coming in? What's going to happen? God tells him, I am who I am. I sent you. That's what is the authority. Then his third excuse, God, but others won't believe me. The people of Israel won't believe me. Well, God made him manifest miracles. Then he had more. He had a fourth excuse. But listen, God, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm not that good at speaking. God tells him, don't worry, I will enable you to teach my ways. And then, I mean, he wrote so much of the Torah and the law. We call it the law of Moses. God worked in him. The fifth excuse, in the end, he said, listen, I'm just unqualified, God. I'm just not good enough. And God gets mad at him, gets so upset with him, and then says, you know what, even with that, I'll send Aaron to help you as well. And in the end, he accepts. But many times, it's this excuse that, God, I know maybe you want me to serve, you want me to follow, you want me to do this, but I'm not good at this, I'm not good at this, this doesn't fit me. But what God wants to do is to use you and me the way we are. And he wants to mold every single one of us to use the pearls that he set in our hearts, in our character. He has made us so well, and he knows what we are capable of when we let him truly work through us. And tonight, that's what we are called to follow, to just follow him. He will do the rest. He will mold you. He will show you the right path. He will give you those words. He will show you the way. The other thing is, many times, you know, in this normal is that the compensation that we expect is not what we expect. When we follow Jesus, maybe some of us think that it's going to be easy, right? Foxes have holes, you know, right? That it's going to be easy, that it's going to be normal. There's going to be, we'll always be taken care of. Everything will be set in order. It'll be normal. You know what? Maybe Maybe this person is thinking, hey, Jesus is setting up the kingdom. Who knows? I might get a seat there. I might be part of his council. I might be somebody. I might be someone great in the kingdom that Jesus is establishing in Jerusalem. Well, of course, that's normal, right? If I follow you, Jesus, I'll get something. I'll get riches. I'll get positions. That's not normal. God wants, as Pastor Greg was saying, humbleness. Humbleness when we follow Jesus. Your normal is not the standard. We need to let go of it. Side note, there's these questions, these hypothetical questions that people ask. If you were stranded on an island, what would be, you know, three items you would take with you? And to me, one normal item to take would be indoor plumbing, because I don't know how I would live without indoor plumbing, but obviously that doesn't work there. Besides the point, Jesus tells everyone, tells those that he's following in the previous section, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what Jesus wants, to put that aside. Put aside your expectations, what it means to follow Jesus. Let him show you the way. Put those things that you think are normal, that you think would be great, that this is the way things may be, but let Jesus' normal be the standard in your life, because his normal is holiness. His normal always works. His normal always shows results. When we choose to follow Jesus, the normal is that there will be trials, there will be tribulations, but we will always be victorious with our Savior. That is normal. That is what is worth expecting. I read David Augsburger tells the story of James Calvert, a missionary that went to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands. And the captain that took him there, the ship captain, really tried really hard to tell him and all the people that were, the missionaries that were with him, don't go. Listen, just don't go there. You will lose your life and the lives of those with you if you go among such savages. And James Calvert, this missionary, told him one thing. We died before we came here. That is what we are called, to die to ourselves and to truly follow. His normal, Jesus' normal, might seem hard, but in fact, following Jesus is easier than not following Jesus. In Matthew, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Therefore, let's leave our normal, our expectations inside and truly follow Jesus. The second thing that I noticed, that spoke to me, that really moved me, the second excuse that I saw in my life so many times. I see it in the second would-be disciple, and I called it my way. But first, my way. This disciple, unlike the other ones, this would-be disciple, hears a clear call from Jesus. Follow me. And as Pastor Gok said, what an honor. What an honor to hear the voice of Jesus, the voice of God, saying, follow me. The other ones weren't directly prompted. They somehow heard about Jesus. They decided to come there. But this one had a clear calling from Jesus. But unfortunately, he had an excuse at the ready. And it started with this, right? We see it right here as we read, follow me, said Jesus to him. But he said, Lord, let me first go. Let me first do something else. Let me first do something else. But first, me, Jesus. This would-be disciple wanted to go somewhere else. Though he said, you know, he was called, follow me. Yeah, Jesus, but I want to go this way. I want to go my way. I know you're going that way. I know you're going to set up a kingdom. I know that you're the promised Messiah. I know that we've been waiting for you. We know that you're our salvation. Amazing. And you're calling me, Jesus, to follow you? Yeah, okay, but I gotta go this way first. How sad. How sad to have the promise of God fulfilled before your eyes. To see Jesus, the fulfillment of the law, to see that, to know that though they expected Romans to be overthrown, their expectations were a little bit different of what actually Jesus did. But still, that was there, that desire, that fulfillment was there. And being called to take part of it and deciding that you had somewhere else to be. Something else was better. You had to go somewhere else. That your way, my way, was somehow better. Did he have a bad excuse? Burying his father, taking care of his family? Of course, it's very good. And Brother Gog explained that in very good details. Is Jesus against family? Of course not. But Jesus is against wrong priorities. In Mark 3, Jesus says, when his mother and his brothers, everybody came there, tried to get his attention, and everyone around said, hey, your family is here. They're here for you. Jesus tells them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking around to those that sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. So it's really important for us, though, to understand the context that Jesus is traveling, that he's going, that he's on the move to set up the kingdom. And he invites, along the way, he invites someone to follow him, to share with him into the kingdom. But this would-be disciple is so ready to excuse himself. While calling Jesus Lord, he still wants his way. Knowing that Jesus is the promised Messiah, still, he wants to do something else first. They waited for the promise of God to be fulfilled. And something else, he has something else to do right here. The answers to their prayers is happening before their eyes. But he's too busy. If you call Jesus Lord, then let him be Lord of your life. Let him reign in your heart. Let him reign in your life. As Pastor Gog read, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So the question is, do we truly have Jesus as the Lord of our lives, or do we just call him Lord, but he doesn't truly reign in our hearts? You see, when we have Jesus, we have life. And his spirit drives us to do his will. You know what's interesting? This would-be disciple meets with Jesus. Here's Jesus calling him. Yet he wants to go bury the dead. And there's different ways we can look at it. But there's one thing that stood out to me. When you meet Jesus, you meet the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But this person wanted to return to his old ways, to the dead ways. Look, when you meet Jesus, you need to put those dead ways aside, because dead ways lead to death. They don't lead to life. There's a very known phrase from the character that plays Mary Magdalene in the Chosen TV series. And I know you know it. It's put on t-shirts and everywhere. I was one way, and now I'm completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him, was Jesus. When you meet Jesus, you have life. He gives you life. Why would you want to return back to death? Why would you want to return back to your old ways that take you away? We should instead proclaim the kingdom of God. You see, death comes from fear. But life comes from the hope in Jesus. It comes from Jesus himself. And Jesus says, proclaim the kingdom of God. And the proclamation of the kingdom of God means that love has a name. It means that joy has a name. It means that peace has a name, that life has a name, that hope has a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. That is what we are proclaiming. That is life. That is hope right there. Let's let Jesus lead the way in our lives, in his perfect way. Why? Because his ways are better than our ways. He knows better. As God says in Isaiah through the prophet, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Jesus knows better. Let's let him lead our ways. Let's let him lead our life. Let's him truly reign. Let's him be in control of our life, for his ways are better. Let's follow him, and let's put our dead ways aside. The third thing that spoke to me in this passage that I saw, that actually really, to me, was a really focal point, besides always saying, "But Lord, but first I want my normal way of serving, but first I want my way." The third thing is my inconsistency. Jesus says, I want to read verse 61. "Yet another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home.' Jesus said to him," and again, this is Jesus giving an answer that had nothing to do with apparently anything. "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus, I will follow you. I'm going to go say farewell to those people at my home. And then Jesus all of a sudden says, "Well, everyone that puts his hand to the plow, what is going on? Like, Jesus, what are you saying?" And the key to it is this: anyone who looks back. And I looked at it, and it means anyone who looks back and regrets. Has regrets. "Maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I shouldn't. This wasn't good. This decision isn't good. Maybe I shouldn't have done this." Maybe saying one thing and then regretting that you said it, regretting that you chose to follow Jesus, regretting that you chose to do the right thing, regretting turning back. Again, Jesus knows the heart of this would-be disciple. He knows that, yes, though he says, "I will follow you, let me just take care of those in my home first," this guy doesn't really want to follow. He's not ready to follow. He wants to go back to his family. He wants to go back there, and then maybe eventually, "Lord, I will follow. I'll eventually get to it, Lord. I'll eventually follow you." The word, I look for so many words, and one word that stuck out to me is this, that I see in ourselves, in myself, is fickleness. Is this, we're so changeable, especially when it comes to loyalties or in our affections, especially when it comes to following Christ. We're unfaithful. We are unreliable. We're unpredictable. And I want to coin a theological term: we're wishy-washy. When we're asked to do one thing, and then we do, and then we don't, we're not sure, is it left, is it right, should I not? I say I'll do it, but then I won't, then I step back. We are so fickle. We are so changeable sometimes. Today, we're great. Today, we're in the house of the Lord. Today, we pray, we worship the Lord, we got our hands up. Tomorrow, Monday comes along, we remember, we pray a little, we worship, we read our Bibles. Wednesday comes along, and we ask, "Where did I leave my Bible? I can't remember where I left it." But yet somehow we still have the expectation that God will continue to work, that God will do miracles, that God will set his kingdom, right? He knew that Jesus was going to Jerusalem to set up his kingdom. We still have the expectation, as though we're entitled to it somehow, for God to continue to work. For God to continue to change our lives, to bring revival. We think that we're entitled to it. But we remain unfaithful. We remain so changeable when we're asked to follow wholeheartedly. Today we follow, tomorrow we're not sure. Today we do the right thing, tomorrow we don't do the right thing. We're not sure what to do. We're so confused sometimes we pull back. Maybe I shouldn't do this, maybe I should do that. We're not sure in ourselves. It's time to hear the voice of God. As Pastor Drohora was speaking this morning, God speaks to us through His Word and through so many other forms. We just need to have our ears open to hear the Word of God that tells us to live holiness, to live in righteousness, to remain following Christ, to remain grounded in Him, to follow Jesus. This would-be disciple will follow Jesus, says, Jesus, I will follow you, but first I'm going to go home here and take care of this. He will follow Jesus in the future. Not right now. In the future. He has other priorities. There's a lyric of a Romanian song that I know you know. Pe flori în cer nu poți fi dus când alții s-au luptat. You cannot enter heaven on flowers when others have fought. You know, Israel, unfortunately, had sometimes the same attitude. This changing their devotion to God, not being sure of themselves. They find themselves in the desert after seeing God miraculously taking them out of Egypt, and they start complaining, and they say, "Oh, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." See, God had heard them. I want to make this parallel. These would-be disciples here that heard Jesus calling them, that said, God will follow you. They know about the promises of God. They've been expecting Jesus. They've been expecting Messiah to come. The Israelites, right, in captivity, right, in Egypt, they cried out to the Lord for a Savior, and Jesus, and the Lord heard them, right? That's why He sent Moses, because He heard them. And He does His part. God does His part. He saves them with His strong, mighty arm. He does miracles. He takes them out of Egypt. And then they complain. Oh, that we would have been still back there. After you see what God has done for you, after you've seen God touch you, after we've seen God do so many miracles in our life, the greatest of one being that He saved you and me, that He gave Jesus for you and me, then we start complaining. This isn't good. That's not good. I want to go back. I'm not sure. Maybe it's not right. We're so changeable. We are the ones that become unfaithful. But God remains faithful to His Word. Author Joel Green says, all would-be disciples must match the depth of Jesus' resolution to serve the purpose of God. Apart from convictions measured in these terms, that absolute resolution, the lessons of discipleship cannot be fully absorbed unless we have Jesus' resolution. You see, He didn't back down. All these people, these three people we see here, these would-be disciples, said, Jesus, I will follow you, but I got to do this. Can you wait for me? Can you just hold on while I go take care of some stuff? I know you're going, but I might come, so just can you just hold on and wait? See, Jesus had a mission. Jesus knew what was going to happen, and He gave everyone opportunity to follow Him. Come, follow me, follow me, follow me. But He didn't stop. He went and He fulfilled. Everyone had that option to follow or not to follow. And tonight, Jesus is here calling you, calling me, follow me. Follow me and proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus understood His mission, and nothing stopped Him from faithfully fulfilling it. Even though He knew that the road ahead was difficult. Even though He knew what was expected, what was going to happen to Him in Jerusalem, even knew that there was going to be a deadly price to pay, He went till the end. Abraham Lincoln used to remark that he could get any number of men, he could find lots of people, lots of men, who are willing to shed their last drop of blood, but found it very difficult to find men to shed their first drop to make a new beginning. You see, the road ahead is not easy, but it's worth it. The challenges are real. We cannot back down. If we're willing to give it all, then we must follow Christ. We need to give all as he did, to truly give our hearts and to let him lead us, for him to guide us into his will, into his purposes, into what he wants from our lives, for his kingdom. You see, the irony is that these would-be disciples called Jesus Lord. And through their attempts, they tried to delay obedience. And they expose the hollowness, the emptiness of their affirmation. Just because they say Lord, they have such empty affirmations. And as Pastor Gok said, Jesus saying, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not to do what I tell you?" Don't talk about what will you do for Jesus in the future. Don't be wishy-washy. Begin now, today, to live for him, to serve him, and to follow him wherever he may lead. In conclusion, as I was reading, like I said, the Spirit, the Word of God touched me. And I looked at my excuses in my life, how I expect normal things to happen, how I think sometimes that my ways are better than his ways, how I find myself so inconsistent at times when I know that I'm supposed to remain faithful to his calling. It's time to repent. It's time to truly, truly follow Jesus. This week, unbeknownst to me, in my devotional on Wednesday, I read this. "My beloved friend, I want to tell you of what I think the Lord would have you do before entering upon your proposed work for him. And it's just simply this: to abandon self to his keeping and accept his will in place of all self's desires. Abandon it all. Give it all to Jesus. Let him lead you. Let him lead our lives." You know what the main tactic, what these three would-be disciples used when they said, "I will follow, but let me do something else first"? You know what the one word that, the thing that came so, was so clear to me? They delayed. They delayed following Jesus. They delayed following. They delayed serving. They delayed. Prepare the way, for the Lord is on the move. Jesus is building a kingdom, and we're being called to take part of it. Look, no more excuses. No more delays. Today is the day. And as Dietrich Bonhoeffer says in The Cost of Discipleship, when Christ calls a man, he calls him to come and die, to die to ourselves, and to truly let Christ live in us, to truly let Christ lead us as we follow him into his perfect will for our lives, for our family, for our church. That is what we are called to do, to die to ourselves and to let him live in our lives. I invite you to stand. Jesus tells everyone who was listening in Luke 9, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You know, you might be asking yourself, what's the big deal? If I don't follow, if I delay, maybe tomorrow, maybe I'll serve another day, maybe I'll get involved another day, maybe I'll choose another day. Look what happened. Right after this, in chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. I don't know if these three would-be disciples were among those 72. But look what happened when they returned. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Above all, follow Jesus today so that your names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Above all else, choose Jesus today. Follow Jesus. Do not delay. Today, Jesus is here. Jesus is calling you, is calling me to follow him, to serve him faithfully. No more excuses, no more delays. And as that Romanian song that we know so well, "Sunt aici la dispoziția ta, chiamă-mă, te voi asculta." Let's serve the Lord with all our strength, with all our might, and let's let him lead us. Let's let him guide us in his will. We thank him for what he's done for us through Christ. Let's honor him. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.